Now, my dear friends, here are the promises. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I will cleanse you from all your idols and from all your iniquities. Will I cleanse you? And the one to holiness, where we serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So on all these wonderful, wonderful, wonderful promises, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. Here are the promises. But they mean nothing unless we obtain them by faith. We have to obtain those promises. When I was saved, I went into a little Tok H hall where the mission was being held. And there God blessed the man who was leading the mission, and I was saved that night. I obtained the promise, John 1:12. But as many as received him, he said, now put your name in there. To Colin who received him, to Colin he gave the power to become child of God. So I became a child of God that night. I obtained the promise. And my whole life was revolutionized because I had obtained the promise. It was there the previous day. It was there the last week. It was there the month before. I'd probably read it many times. Nothing hadn't affected my life at all. But one night, I obtained the promise. And my dear friends, here are the promises. And if we don't obtain them, they'll not mean anything to us. It is an act of faith as we take the word and obtain the promise and make it live. So that God takes it off the page and plants it in my heart. And it changes me and it transforms me. Because the promise is God operating in me as I believe him, as I love, as I lay hold of the promise. He operates through that word. Obtaining the promise. You're going to obtain a promise these days? Amen. Then not only is it possible because of the promises, but it's possible because of the petitions. Notice there in Ephesians chapter 3. These are marvelous prayers, Paul's prayers. Ephesians chapter 3, he says that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, and the Greek is much stronger there, comprehend, it's much more than that. It's apprehend, it's grasp with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's a tremendous statement. This is the prayer of Paul. Notice verse 14, he prayed, I bow my knees unto the Father, and he's praying this prayer for the Ephesian Christians. It's not just for the Ephesian Christians. This is an eternal word. This is a prayer. This is a prayer that God inspired and Paul wrote down. So if it comes out of the heart of God and is written down eternally, and we'll meet this in heaven, then it is the desire of God that this which he prays here might be accomplished in his church. So therefore, logically, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God is God's desire for his church. Is God's desire for us here at this place to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory through the church throughout all ages, world without end. That's an accumulation of words there. Bad grammar, good theology. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We ask or think. Paul and Peter and John and James and the apostles. Whatever they ask or think. We all. What do you ask or think? That. And it's a mountain. I wonder whether God can ever do that. And somebody else, right, reaches higher. Somebody else reaches higher. So, whatever height we reach, for God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is able to deliver us. God is able to expose and to cleanse. God is able to take us and transform us these very days and make us a praise to God on earth as we go back. So we have met him and surely we have been transformed. So here is the work of God, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's his desire. You see, it comes out of God's heart. It comes through our hearts. We pray it back to God. It's a circle. It comes back to him and he is able to answer that which we have prayed. That's a philosophy of prayer, isn't it? He puts it in our hearts and we pray in the Spirit and pour out that desire which he has planted there back to himself. And he then answers. Why God has organized it like that, we do not know, but that is how he has done it. And we are in dependency before God. We depend upon him, for we can do nothing of ourselves. And where Jesus is, we can do nothing. Is not, we can do nothing. Notice not only in Ephesians, but there in Colossians. There's another one, another prayer. Colossians 1, verse 10, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, the prayer is building up now. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto my, this is marvelous now, unto mighty signs and wonders, unto marvelous things. What does he say? Unto all patience. Oh dear. Unto long suffering with joyfulness. Oh my. Surely you had something better than that, God. Surely you had something mighty, power and glorious miracles. And no. He's looking at the heart. See? God is wanting purity of heart. And heart, a heart which is in line with him. So here he is saying, unto strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering. With joyfulness, boys, long suffering. And God gives you grace in the length of the suffering. Amy Carmichael, 20 years on her back, and God gave her grace, and she enriched the world with her writing. Long suffering. God is looking on our hearts. He is more concerned with what we are than what we do. God's microscope is upon us. He wants betterment there. See? Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power and to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. Night and day, he says, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. And might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Mark you, chapter 1, just look at what chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. See, he says in the third verse, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God. Verse 6, ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. So, mark you there in the sixth verse, they became followers of the Lord, received the word. So they were a biblical church. In much affliction, they were a persecuted church. With the joy of the Holy Ghost, they were a joyful church. You were in samples to all that believe. They were an exemplary church. From you sounded out the word of the Lord. So they were a missionary church. To every place your faith to God was spread abroad. And they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. How ye turned to God from idols. They were a separated church. To serve the living and true God. They were a serving church. And to wait for his Son from heaven. They were an expectant church. Whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. They were a saved church. My word, if any pastor had a church like that, he'd rejoice. And then he comes to the third chapter. Notice what he says in the third chapter. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face. And might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So he is saying, thank God for all the wonderful things that I see in you. All these wonderful works that I mentioned then in the first chapter. But look, I still see something lacking. And brethren, we can thank God for all that God has done for us. He has saved us. He's given us peace of heart. He's forgiven our sins. He's made us to be one part of the body of Christ. Here we are, we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. We have light in our souls. We can look up to Jesus and we can know that He is our elder brother, our Savior. He has gone before. We are heirs together with Him of eternal life and of life. Night and day praying for you. Those of you who are there, that I might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Paul saw something lacking. What did he see? Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end, here we are, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Oh, I want a holy people. I don't just want an active people. You're wonderful. You're doing a lot of work. Your word is going forth to Achaia and all over the place. I don't need to know, don't need to speak anything of you. Your testimony is abroad. But God wants to establish you unblameable in holiness before Him. See, if we have to do with God, we have to do with a holy God. And if we have to do with a holy God, we've got to align ourselves to that holy God. So there are petitions. Now, if God is praying these things, He means them to be answered. It's no good. No, God would never just give us a prayer and say, okay, you just go keep praying. Pray that you'll be unblameable in holiness before God. Pray that you'll be filled with all the fullness of God. Pray that you'll be strengthened with all might unto the all patience and long suffering with joy. Just go on praying. It won't happen, of course. It can't happen. You just keep going. Align yourself with the objective. But that's as far as you can get. You can't get any further than that. Just go on praying. God would never stand aside and mock us like that. God would never stand aside and mock us like that. God gives us the prayer which comes from His own heart so that we can pray it back to Him and He can answer. See? Therefore, I say, to walk with God is possible because of the promises. And it's possible because of the petitions. God's given us petitions to pray. God also, how holily and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. Paul is saying this. He's saying, you see, and God sees, how holy and blamelessly we behaved ourselves there. God is our witness. You also saw it. I would hesitate to say a thing like that, but my word, He said it. And look at 2 Corinthians 7:4. He says, I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. And Paul had many tribulations. Shipwrecked, whipped. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. Remember, Paul and Silas were in prison. There they were, locked away in the inner prison. And then came a mighty earthquake. And the doorpost moved, and the doors were flung open, and the jailer was about to plunge the knife into his bosom because he said, of course, if the doors open, everybody will flee. And I will be held accountable. I might as well kill myself right now. And Paul said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. As a digression, I sometimes think of that as a voice from the Bible. When the liberals want to pull out the first five books and Daniel and Revelation and 2 Peter and 2 and 3 John and throw them out. Do thyself no harm, we're all here. Do thyself no harm, we're all here. How was it that they could all be there? Why didn't they flee? They heard a man singing in that dungeon.
How can a man sing when he's there? What noble spirit is this? What king is among us? How can he have such joy in such circumstances? Who is he?
So when the doors were flung open, they didn't worry about the doors. They went to find out from this man who had discovered the secret of living. There is the miracle of that event. They didn't run away.
What a testimony to Paul. What a testimony to Silas.
Testimonies. So there are promises, and there are petitions, and there are testimonies, and there are exhortations. There in 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh, yes, that's easy. All the lasciviousness and all the rest of it, the wickedness and the immorality, that can go. But the sins of the spirit, the pride and the envy and the unbelief and the criticism deeply lodged in our hearts. And some of us come from fellowships where, far away, where maybe there is a lot of problems in the fellowship and you feel very bad, even sitting here today this afternoon. You feel a feeling of critical attitude. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. Cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves. Come. He exhorts us. And then one more. Not only the exhortations, but the command. Notice he says, be filled with the Spirit. Notice he said, be holy in all manner of conversation. Notice he said, walk in love, increase more and more. So there are commands in the Scripture. And may I say, friends, that the command of God is his creative act. Do you remember when God said at the very beginning, let there be light? There was light. Remember that word in Psalm 33? He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He spoke things into existence. He spoke worlds into existence. His word created. Now we're deeply into New Testament theology because Jesus is the Logos, the Word. And he who created all things by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the firstborn of every creature, Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. So Jesus Christ is the creative, the extension of God's person, as it were. Here is the Word of God creating. And when Jesus Christ was here on earth, he said to the leper, be clean. And so the Word created the condition. The command of God is his creative act. So when God says to me, be holy, it's an awesome thing. But it's not only an awesome thing, it's an encouraging thing. Because if the word is mixed with faith in those who hear it, that condition can be created by the mighty power of the Creator, the creative word. God speaks the condition into existence. And so we place ourselves under the authority of the Word. And the Word comes to me. And I hear the Word. Lord, you're speaking it to me now. I hear what you're saying. You're saying, be clean. You're saying, be holy. You're saying, be filled. You're saying, be filled with love. You're saying, the patience which is needed. Be patient. Here comes the Word. And that, as it is mixed with faith in those who hear it, it takes place because of the mighty power of God in the Word which comes to me.
So now I have the promises and I have the command. I have the word, the creative word, as I stand beneath the authority of that word and receive the word by faith this afternoon. And I have the promises and I lay hold of the promises, just as I obtain promises through faith. Those mighty promises that we spoke of earlier on, obtaining the promises. I obtain the promises. I lay hold of the promises and I obtain them by faith. They become mine. I am transformed. The word of God comes to me. God says, be holy, be clean. I am transformed because I stand beneath that word and I receive it and it becomes mine. It's the word of God. My dear friends, here is the power of God, the word of God. We don't need anything else but the power of God and the word of God, the spirit of God, applying the word. As the word speaks to my heart, so I take the word and it has a transforming effect within me. I can respond to it and God works its power in me. And I am transformed by his mighty word, by his glorious power, by the promise which I cling to and which I hold on to. And the deed is done in my heart. Oh, I wonder whether there are those here right at this very beginning, in this very first meeting, who realize, Lord, I need something to be done in me. There's a critical attitude in me. There's a wrong spirit in me. I've come here to make right with God, but oh, I need thee. Here is an encouraging word this afternoon. Let it come to the blood. Let it come. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I will cleanse thee from all your wickedness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. So here is God stepping down and meeting us at the point of our need as we come to him and claim the promises and claim the word which he speaks to us. Shall we bow in prayer? Our Father, we do thank thee that thou dost know all things. Thou art omniscient. Thou seest us right here in this meeting as we sit in these chairs. Thou seest right into the depths of our hearts. Thou knowest us all together. O, our Father, have dealings with us from this very moment, right through this convention. May it be a time rising in power and in brokenness before thee, rising in the spirit as thou dost come and walk amongst us and speak to our hearts, showing us our need and revealing to us the great ability of God to bring us into a right relationship and to cleanse away our sin and to make us to walk with God in very truth, to walk day by day in holiness and righteousness before God all the days of our life. What wonderful promises are these? We thank thee. We give ourselves to thee right at the very beginning of this convention to seek thy face and to look to thee to meet us at the point of our need according to thy knowledge of us and according to thy riches in glory. Come to us, O blessed Lord, and meet us even now. Friends, I wonder right at the very outset, this very first meeting, whether there are those who say, I'm coming to the cross. I have need. I've come here for that specific purpose. I remember at one convention, a man came to me after the first meeting, after a half night of prayer that we had. He said, I came 160 miles over very bad roads for this specific purpose. I want to be filled with God's Spirit. Now, perhaps there are those here who feel, I'm coming to meet with God even now, right at this very, very outset. Oh, shall we place ourselves in line for blessing throughout this week?
Shall we say, Lord, I'm coming to thee now? And if we're really meaning business, shall we not say it right now to him? Shall we, those of us who are really meaning business, to say, Lord, I'm coming to thee. I hear that thou hast this plan for me where I can walk with God. I've had problems. I've had difficulties, but I'm coming now. And I want to align myself with thy purposes. I want to give myself to thee right at this very moment. Lord God, meet me at this weekend, at these few days. Meet me during this convention. Come to my soul. Oh, come to me now. Come to me tonight. Come to me tomorrow and the next day. Lord, here we've put away these days for thee. Oh, I am coming. And if that's the language of your heart, would you like to just rise at this very moment and say, Lord, I'm coming to you now. Please meet me. I'm coming. Would you like to rise right now? I'm coming to you, Lord. I'm coming right at this very moment. This is a convention which is going to be meant for me and thee. I'm coming to thee. Lord, come to my heart and touch it. Come to my life and transform it. Come to my whole being and make me new. Give me a new life, a new liberty, a new deliverance, a new walk with thee, a new sense of thy holy presence. Oh God, I'm coming to thee. I'm coming to thee this very afternoon. I'm coming to thee now, and I'm committing myself to thee during these days, so that right from the outset of this convention, I might be in line for mighty Holy Ghost blessing in my own soul, where the blood of Christ is applied deeply to my need, and where the Holy Ghost comes and meets that need and fills me to overflowing, so that when I leave this place, I might go walking with God, walking because of the promises, walking because of the exhortations to which I have responded, walking because of the promises which I have claimed, walking because of the petitions which have been effective, walking because of the commands which you have commanded right into the depths of my soul, and it has been effective because it has been a word spoken to me which I have taken as by faith from thee. Oh God, I place myself under the authority of thy word even now, and I cry to thee to come to us this very day and this very night. Meet us at the point of our need this night, Lord. God, sweep over this campus. Sweep into these gatherings. Pour thy Spirit out upon us. May we truly know the glory and the power and the wonder of God coming upon this camp these days. Come to us, Lord, and pour out thy Spirit. Come to us, Lord, and make us the recipients of thy glad pleasure. Oh, our Father, we open our hearts wide to the inflow of grace. Come to us, we pray. Pour in thy cleansing and thy healing grace, and make us fit to receive the one who dwells supremely in our hearts. Come then, our Father, we commit ourselves to thee right through this time. In Jesus' name, amen.